Hello, you're listening. Okay, so first of all, who
Speak up. Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Tuesday, October 31st. Happy Halloween. My name is Magnus Teeveld. I'm your host for this hour. And it is Fun Drive here at CJSF Radio. All this week, starting yesterday and running until Sunday, we are appealing to you, our listeners, to support the station and what we do here at CJSF Radio. If you're a regular listener of the station, you will know that we're a non-profit, non-commercial, volunteer-based community radio station dedicated to both reflecting our communities and providing an opportunity for our communities to come up and speak for themselves. We have a lot of shows that do that, and this is one of them, where we go out and, as much as we can, talk about what's happening in our community and about issues important to our community. For today's show, I have some special interviews that we're revisiting. This show was hosted for a long time by our intern, Vivian Frudel. And I have a couple interviews that she did. Right now, we're looking for a new host for this program. Being a host for the program doesn't mean you have to be 100% responsible for all the content. But it does provide an opportunity to get on the radio and direct the content of the program and work with other volunteers and programmers and staff here at CJSF to do interesting and lively interviews about the place we live in and the issues that are important to the people here. All right, so it is Fun Drive, and I'm asking you as a listener to think about why you listen to CJSF, whether it's this show or it's Democracy Now!, which is coming up at 11 o'clock, or to our many music programs covering many genres of music. One of the things we strive to do here at CJSF is provide some programming that's different than what you're going to find through other media, and I think we do that pretty well. One of our biggest challenges is a lack of resources. It's not easy creating programming 365 days a year. Right now, and one of the reasons for that is that it all takes resources, whether it's people resources to coordinate folks or equipment resources or whatnot. One of the ways you can support CJSF Radio is by making a contribution to this year's Fund Drive. All that goes into helping to run the radio station, into funding the operations, into making improvements to our equipment and our facilities. And your contribution will make a difference there. If you think you can do that, I'd urge you to go to your computer or on your phone. Go to our website at www.cjsf.ca/donate and make a donation, $35, $70, $120, or whatever amount you can manage. Every contribution is appreciated. And I hope you'll do that. These are trying times for everyone. Inflation is running high. Our main sources of income, of revenue, are mostly static. So, you know, the inflation that's affecting perhaps you and everybody is affecting us as well. And one of the ways we can try and balance out that inflation is through more funds raised from the community, and that means you. If you can make that difference, if you can make that contribution, please go to the computer, or you can give me a call here in the studio at 778-782-2573, and I'd be happy to take your information. Or go to our donation page, www.cgsf.ca/donate. All right, this is an interview that Vivian did earlier this year with Janice Abbott, and we'll just let that go here. And we'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Okay, so first of all, who are you and what are you doing here in Vancouver?
So my name is Janice Abbott. I'm the CEO of Atira. Guess what I'm doing here in Vancouver, as well as living. Mm-hmm.
And you came from the organization Atira, so we are here right now. And can you tell me who you are and what they're doing? What's their mission?
Sure. So Atira Women's Resource Society is a women's anti-violence organization. Our vision is to build a world free of inequalities where everyone's human rights are respected and where women and girls have the right to participate fully and effectively in all of the decisions that affect their lives. Mm-hmm. We manifest our mandate primarily through housing, although we do a whole bunch of other things as well, from daycare centers to legal advocacy programs to stopping the violence, counseling, outreach. So in addition to building and providing housing to women and children, we, in particular women who have experienced violence, we also have support programs.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved?
So I've been here almost 31 years. And like many women who do women's anti-violence work, I come from lived expertise. So most of us here, that's what drives our passion to do this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing work. And one of your biggest projects is women in housing, as you already mentioned. How is the situation of women's housing in Canada right now?
The situation for housing for everybody in Canada is obviously at a crisis point, because we don't have enough housing. Rent is high. It's particularly acute in cities like Vancouver and Toronto. Vancouver especially, we've seen, I think, 56% increase in rents in the last 3 years. I think a one-bedroom apartment in Vancouver right now goes for about $2,600 a month. We haven't seen anywhere near the same corresponding increases in people's wages. For women and children, especially women-led households, we know that women make less money than men. We know that women of color, women who are racialized, make less money than white women. We know that most single-parent families are led by women. So when you consider all of those factors, it's not hard to arrive at the conclusion that when there's a housing crisis, women and children are disproportionately affected.
And how do you support these women?
So, you know, from Atira's perspective, one of the things Atira does is build housing in as much as we can as a nonprofit organization and relying obviously on government programs. One of the things we're doing at the Pan-Canadian Voice for Women's Housing, which Atira is a part of, is advocating for government to include consideration for women and children in their housing policies. So some of the things, for example, are building units that have more than one bedroom or they're big enough to accommodate families. We would like to see units in places where women and children want to live, so close to public amenities, schools, grocery stores, that kind of stuff. We would like to see units set aside for women, not only housing developments that are led for and by women, but also set asides in housing developments for women and children as well. We want units to consider the possibility or that women who are disabled have children and women have children who are disabled, so we need to consider units that are accessible for women and children and big enough for women and children and in places. And so we want to see government develop policies that take all of that into consideration.
Mm-hmm. And could you explain what Pan-Canadian Voice for Women's Housing stands for?
Yeah, so the Pan-Canadian Voice for Women's Housing is a cross-Canada network of women and women-serving agencies, almost all of us doing housing wherever we are in the country. country. So we have members from Newfoundland, from Nunavut and the Northwest Territories, the Yukon, every province across Canada. And our goal is to find the things that unite us, because although the regions of Canada are diverse and we all face different challenges depending on where we are. Like, the challenges are way different for housing in the north, for example, than they are than they are in the south, and they're way different if you're living in a remote or rural community than if you're living in an urban community. So we recognize there's vast differences, but we also recognize that there's lots of things we have in common, including the struggle for more housing for women. And so the goal is to come together and advocate together, to have the federal government include policies that positively affect women and children, housing policies that positively affect women and children, but also to lend a voice to each other in all of the unique challenges we have depending where we are in the country, and also to train women and provide education. So how do you write a letter to the editor? How do you advocate with your provincial, federal, municipal politicians? How do you get the media interested in the subject? How do you talk with one another? So it's really about building capacity in the women's housing sector across the country to advocate for change.
How can people like me support this woman too? Because not only shelters or women centers support women, but how can I as a person support those women?
So going into our website and signing on to our calls for action. So we have 6 calls for action that address some of the changes we'd like to see in housing policy to affect women. It's going out to public hearings in your communities when there's affordable housing developments being considered, and writing letters to politicians, writing letters and at every level, so municipal, provincial, and federal, encouraging more funding for housing. You know, we have to really think about the fact that there is going to be a ton of immigration into Canada. We don't have enough housing for the people who live here already, so what's going to happen to the immigrants as they come to Canada? Particularly when we see refugees, again, a lot of women-headed families. So we need all of our voices showing up at public hearings, showing up at rallies, supporting our calls to action, writing letters to their MLAs and MPs, and just really using our voices as loudly and as clearly as we can to advocate for housing. Mm-hmm. For women.
Yes, yeah. For sure. And we'll link your website on our archive so that people can check it out. And we were talking about housing and housing policies. So how are the housing policies for First Nation, Métis, and Inuit women different to white women's housing? Is there a difference?
Well, because of the history of colonization, genocide in Canada, we know that Indigenous women, so First Nations, Métis, Inuit women and children, women in particular, are more likely to be victims of violence. They're more likely to be victims of murder. They're more likely to be unhoused. So as acute as the housing situation is for white women or for people in Canada, it's that much more acute for First Nations, Métis, and Inuk women and children. And part of what we're calling for, the Pan-Canadian Voice for Housing, is a carve-out or a set-aside for housing for First Nations, Métis, and Inuk women that's led by First Nations, Métis, and Inuk women. When we build programs or housing or advocate for ourselves, it has to be led by us. So we really like to see a policy that allows First Nations, Métis, and Inuk women and children from across the country to develop and build their own housing that works for them and that's meaningful to them.
Yes, that makes total sense. And we came here together to talk about the budget of 2023 for women in housing and in general. And how do you want to spend this budget, and what is this budget about?
So we're talking about the federal budget?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this federal budget didn't see a huge amount of money for housing, and so our primary focus, in addition, as a network of women's organizations across the country, in addition, raising our voices and making sure there's more money for housing, and in particular for women's housing, in the next budget, and to advocate to reconsider and add more funding this year, we will be asking that the money that is available, that there are considerations that benefit women and children, so that whatever there is this year, that there's more housing built for women and children. But the reality is this budget didn't allow for a lot of additional money for housing, so it was a disappointing budget for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we have to continue talking about it.
Yes.
So, so important. And what are your main goals for this year, 2023, besides the budget?
Yeah, so for the Pan-Canadian Voice for Women Housing, we'll hold our annual symposium in October. That's being held in Ottawa, so we'll bring women from across the country together to review our calls for action, see if they need to be updated or added to. I'd like to say we can delete some, but we can't because they're all still relevant. So we may massage them or we may add to them. We will continue to offer training and support to women to build capacity so they can be loud advocates for housing wherever they live across the country. We will continue to meet virtually and strategize about how we can impact stories in the media, influence politicians, influence other organizations, just to continue to drive forth this message that we need housing for women and kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what has improved over the years? So you probably have seen so many things in your work here, and where do you still see room for improvement when it comes to women's and housing?
Well, unfortunately, I've seen things like I could not have anticipated 31 years ago how bad the housing crisis would be today. So while certainly there have been things that have improved for women in the 31 years that I've been doing this work, there are a lot of things that are worse than they were 31 years ago. The housing prices, wages, all of those things have deteriorated over the last 31 years. And so instead of, what has gotten better, tragically, things have actually gotten worse when it comes to housing for everyone, and that, of course, disproportionately negatively affects women and kids.
Mm-hmm. But what has improved so far? I see the problem here. It's worse.
When it comes to housing, which is what the Pan-Canadian Voice for Women's Housing is about, things have actually deteriorated. And that's it's deteriorated for everybody. There's no surprise to anybody. There's a housing crisis in this country, or there's a housing crisis and there's an income crisis. Some people might argue it's not actually housing; it's income. It's income inequality, right? But yeah, it's definitely gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very sad to hear. But
the other thing we can say too is, and there's lots of folks that believe there's a connection between this data and the pandemic, but in fact, there's been more women murdered by their partners in the last couple of years than in recent history.
I heard that too. Yeah. That femicide is getting worse and worse every year, and I would come to the annual end here. Why are so many women, children, and gender diverse people turned away by shelters, and how can we prevent that?
So the short answer is it's because there's not enough shelters or not enough shelter beds. The longer answer is that should we be exploring whether shelter beds are the best use of funding? Would it be better to build long-term housing? Shelter beds are short-term. They certainly work when women are in crisis, but they also create anxiety because they're short-term. And right now, women don't know where they're going to go after the shelter stay runs out. So I think that, the easy answer, that sort of easiest answer is, well, we need to build more shelter beds, but then the question becomes, what's the best use of the limited funding? And should we be spending more money on shelters, or should we be spending more money on building long-term permanent housing so that women have housing options and don't have to go to shelters in the first place?
Yeah,
because there's definitely women who stay in violent abusive relationships because they have nowhere to go.
We are almost at the end of this interview, so do you have anything to add that I have missed asking about, or would you like to add
I don't think so. I think you had a pretty comprehensive list of questions there. And you gave me lots of leeway. So I can't think of anything I've missed.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sinis, for this interview. And I have one last question. Do you have a song that inspires you, gives you power? Yeah.
So trying to probably people Maybe you've never heard of, like Tracy. I can't remember this fast car. So that might be one, or God, I need more time.
It's
Give me
a
time.
Tricky question. Yeah, you can.
Can email. I email you?
Yeah,
me a
for
few
sure.
Ideas?
For sure. No worries. No stress. Yeah, thank you so much, Dennis, for this interview. And yeah, we are out here.
That was an interview done by Vivian Frudel with Janice Abbott of Atira about the important services they provide. It is Fun Drive now, and we're not going to be able to get to Janice's request, but we are going to play something by Vancouver band Peach Kelly Pop in a few moments. But first, let me talk about Fun Drive here with you. It is Fun Drive right now, and we are asking you, our listeners and supporters, to make a contribution to CJSF Radio to support our Fun Drive. You can do that by going to our donation page at www.cjsf.ca/donate. Or you can give me a call here in the studio, and I will be happy to take your information about your pledge, 778-782-2573. We come to you 365 days a year, bringing you programming 24/7. And that's actually a big operation, which we do with not a great deal of resources. One of the reasons we're doing a fund drive and we're appealing to our community is that more resources make it easier and possible to do more great programming. We are volunteer run, so we can do a lot with a little. Volunteers make such a contribution to the station, but that doesn't mean we can do everything we would love to do, and we'd love to be bringing you stronger spoken word programming and public affairs programming, something that we're always striving to do. But you know, it takes money and coordination and people, and it's a challenge. I think a challenge that for the most part we rise up to, but we'd love to do more, and a contribution from you would help us with that goal. We bring you Democracy Now!, which is coming up at 11 o'clock in about 40 minutes every weekday, and we have been doing that for almost 20 years. It is one of the best alternative, non-mainstream, progressive radio programs in North America, and we are proud to have it on our schedule. If you love Democracy Now!, if you're a regular listener, it'd be great if you could show that love and that support for that program by making a contribution. We're quite fortunate in that Democracy Now! Doesn't charge us to charge CJSF to provide that programming. And we're very happy about it. But that doesn't mean it comes for nothing. Every hour of programming that goes out over the air at CJSF needs to be paid for somehow. It costs quite a bit of money to keep the radio station running throughout the year. So think of it that way. You know, it probably costs us, well, I'm not even sure, I'd have to do the math in my head. But, you know, running the station for that hour, 250 days a year, costs a lot of money. We love bringing you Democracy Now!, but if you love hearing Democracy Now!, you love being able to just turn on your radio at 11 o'clock, no matter where you are, whether you're in the car or at home, or maybe you are, maybe you've downloaded a new smartphone app, and when 11 o'clock comes along, you can get the notification telling you it's time for Democracy Now!, and you listen to it that way. If you're one of those listeners, it'd be great if you could support Fun Drive, support CJSF, and support the continued airing of Democracy Now! With a contribution to Fun Drive 2023. You can do that by going to your computer, Or your browser, actually, whether it's on your phone or your tablet or your computer, and log into our visitor website. You don't have to log in, actually. www.cgsf.ca/donate. And you can very simply make a donation through that page, through our safe hosted payment page. It's entirely safe. And support the station. $35, $50, $70. Maybe you're feeling particularly good this year and you want to make a $500 donation. If you did that, that would be amazing. And we would be so grateful. So go to your browser, www.cgsf.ca, and please make that contribution. We're going to go with some music now. This is a Vancouver band, Peach Kelly Pop, and this is a track from a recent release called Please Come Home. Kelly Pop, and Please Come Home from their album Peach Kelly Pop 3. We have another presentation for you here, but before we get to that, I'm just going to very quickly remind you about Fund Drive. We need your contributions. Our goal is $10,000 this week. We want to raise $10,000 by this Sunday night. We're off to a good start with, I haven't checked the latest total, but it's coming up to close to $2,000. But you can help us reach that goal by making a contribution at www.cgsf.ca/donate. Our next presentation is part of a documentary series CGSF produced a few years ago, of a number of radio documentaries, and this is one of them. This one is called Unexpected Journeys.
What do you think you might want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a veterinarian or an actor.
I want to be an engineer.
What does this look like?
It looks like an arrow with a straight line.
What about this one?
It looks like a scribbled line with an arrow.
What drew me to
science, I think, was the fact that it lets you explore the world around you. It sort of satiates your natural curiosity. And when I was small, I used to love to do stuff like go out into a big empty lot in the neighborhood and look for snakes, see what was alive